just wanted to acknowledge all the work of the people that have put this conference together to bring all these great people together and really look at the questions that face us as we try to move forward in a movement that's really based on principles of self-liberation and recognizing the collective responsibility that we have in this fight. And unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to stay long for the workshop because I have to go to Laval, to the detention center there. And they have there are hours for visits between 2 and 4, and I want to get there because there's a 19-year-old Mexican man who's been detained. He was picked up on Thursday because of the police saw him in a metro. He was hanging out, waiting for a friend, and they wanted to arrest him for sexual aggression, but it was a mistaken identity. It was another Latino person who they mistook for him. And when they were searching for his identity on him, because they handcuffed him immediately, they saw his name, they did a check, and it came out that Immigration Canada has an arrest warrant for them, because he is one of an 8-member family that has been living underground for 3 months. The deportation order was issued to them after 4 years of being in Canada. And this family decided in March to defy their deportation order and to decide to resist another displacement, another uprooting, another moment where they're forced to make a conscious decision. And this is basically where I'm going to start talking and looking at what solidarity and self-determination means, because this family was faced at that moment when they had the deportation order, they were faced with very few choices. And one was either to obey the deportation order by the Canadian government, to go back and face their persecutors. And who are their persecutors? It's the federal police. The federal police in Mexico, La Policía Judicial, are known assassins and expert torturers. Many of you know Oscar Carrillo, who lives here in Montreal, who's an activist with us. He is here living in Canada today. He received his political refugee status because he was persecuted by the Policía Judicial. They are known organized crime in Mexico. And this family was persecuted by the federal police because they had paid a certain amount of money so that their younger children could attend a public school that was in their neighborhood. And they were fleeced. They denounced the robbery. And it turns out that this is a professional scam operated by the federal police. They were visited by the federal police. Their young daughter was kidnapped. The mother was beaten, and now their 7-year-old son has a huge welt and like deformation on their neck because of the beating. And so they had the choice to go back to face the risks of the state violence that awaits them there. They had another choice to pay a lot of money for 10 members to cross the U.S.-Canadian border and to assimilate into the underground culture of the Latinos living in the United States, where there's over 8 million strong. But the risks of being captured by crossing the border in the middle of the night with a 2-year-old, with a 6-year-old, with an 11-year-old, they have 8 kids, was too much. They basically decided to stay. To stay in Canada and live here in the underground, which is very difficult. It's much harder than in the U.S. And to live here like the thousands of other people that actually basically make this economy run in Montreal and cities like Toronto, Vancouver, you know, the urban industrial Canada. So they defied their deportation order. And this is where we see that they asserted their right to self-defense and to protect themselves from state violence. This was a simple act of self-determination in the face of a social order based on a caste system. People think that the caste system is only feudal. It's actually a fundamental component of the capitalist system today. where there are different laws and different regulations that govern different groups of people. It's an apartheid system here in Canada, inside Canada, the colonial state of Canada, as well as a reflection of the way the world operates. And this simple gesture of self-determination to defy the deportation order is a reflection of when an individual decides to break with a social contract with the state. A state that imposes the terms of survival set out for the person. And it's a situation where the person affirms his belief in his ability to self-rely, self-reliance, his own power to provide for his own needs, and assumes the enormous risks involved with what it means to confront the structures that determine who has freedom, who gets served justice, and who merits life with dignity. And this individual gesture is the ground from which self-liberation and collective self-determination is cultivated. Because when you break with the system, you have no choice but to seek out alliances, to build ties among people and communities that are faced with the same system, this caste system, and that the people that share the similar convictions. You have no choice but to seek out support and reciprocity and solidarity, because the individual's self-liberation cannot live without the collective, and the collective is born of solidarity. This is where our power lies, solidarity. And it's a legitimizing force for collective power. Yeah, I just want to get it over, man. I'm like, get it out. All right. Yeah, solidarity. But this is the legitimizing force from which we can have a collective power. And the power is the conscious decision to organize and to take collective action, to take collective responsibility and ownership of the risks involved in resistance, the enormous risks every day. And it's fueled by the desire for emancipation, for ourselves to be emancipated, but also in the belief in ourselves. And it's rooted in the empowerment, in the conscious decision to empower the brothers and sisters around us that have no choice, that are faced with no choices but to resist in order to survive. And basically, that's what I wanted to offer as an opening for the discussion, because I was hoping that Ashanti was going to be here, but Sue is going to be able to develop this idea that I think is fundamental for when we talk about self-determination and solidarity, that is in the idea that we have to understand the people that have no choice are the ones that are leading the way in which we have to forge our path to liberation upon those needs, and they will carry us through.